To our podcast, Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
Well, I never thought you'd give the intro.
I thought I'd just dive right in.
All right.
Might as well. I'm Joel F. Gardner.
I'm Derek Sweet.
And like I said, this is our awesome podcast. Man, I guess I should take my jacket off and stay a while.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucking, I guess I should have done that right before instead of during whatever.
You make it sound like you rushed in and, like, we sat down, like, all right, let's do this now.
Let's do this out. No, we were playing some, well, Derek showed me GoldenEye for the Wii that came out. Did it come out today?
Yeah, I rushed out it first thing in the morning and picked it up.
And picked it up.
But I saw one review. Classic mistake.
Classic mistake. Hey, well, what really, watching you play for the 10 or 15 minutes that I watched you play, it pretty much just made me want to go back and play the original GoldenEye.
Yeah. I wish I could find my N64 wireless that works on the Wii so I could play it with the original joystick.
Yeah, it'd be... still... Even watching you play with the... You're using the motion controls. I really don't like the motion controls.
Yeah, we're definitely on different pages on that. I love the feeling. The first time I felt it was in Twilight Princess, that Zelda. And I was like, man, I really like swinging my hand, like, when I hit things. Like,
yeah.
It feels like I'm hitting something when I swing it and it goes whack in the game, you know? And there's something about the physical movement and the motion controls. There's something satisfying in pointing at something and going, bam, and shooting like a gun. It feels like aiming a gun.
Yeah.
More
yeah.
than a joystick does. And so, but you definitely lose some shit.
Yeah, like quick turnaround.
Quick turnaround.
And like you could always have a button, I guess, just 180 turn. But
I would never do it competitively, let's say that. No multiplayer would ever be done with motion controls.
Obviously not.
But it's the same thing as driving, right? Driving with a wheel. Driving with a wheel is really fun in a racing game.
Yeah, you think you would be better, but then you play with guys that are using a controller, an actual controller, and you're the only guy using a steering wheel, and you're at the back of the pack.
Yeah, you get destroyed. It's a more authentic experience, but in terms of gameplay, you're losing.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
But GoldenEye was cool. I didn't know it was a reboot. I thought it was a remake.
You thought it was a one for like remake pretty much.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be playing Facility and, you know, and you do get to play Facility. There's elements that are the same. There's head nods to the original game.
You can totally tell that Activision did it. There's a lot of elements to it that just screamed Activision to me and Call of Duty style stuff that was happening.
They were just the publishers, right? The developers were actually, I can't remember the name. They're the same people that did Dead Space Extraction, which you didn't like that either.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that game either.
Which you loved.
That
the
was
Dead
the
Space
on Rails one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you loved the Dead Space mythologies. So for
I
you to not like
Dead Space.
So for you to not like a game, it's got to be totally not Joel's game.
Yeah, it just wasn't my style. Like I haven't played an on-rails shooter since the arcade days, you know, when you're going to the arcade and playing like Time Crisis.
I was gonna say Time Cop, but I was like, no, that's not right. It's Time something. Time Crisis was awesome.
Yeah, or there's the other one. Can't remember.
Why was Time Crisis innovative? Because they gave you some slightly non-on-rails ability to
was
duck
that
behind
the duck
cover.
Down?
Yeah,
the ducking down.
So it's like it was the one on-rails game that wasn't 100% on rails, and that's why everyone loved it. Yeah. Why are you just playing FPS for fuck's sake? Just don't play on-rail shooters if that's what you like.
Yeah, I can't believe you went out and got GoldenEye and passed up on Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, you know, I never really considered it, to be honest. I saw high reviews, but it's like when you don't play, I've never played a Kirby game before.
I've played, I think there was one I played, but that was ages ago, and I can't remember what it was called. But this one is just supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, I'll probably be trading in GoldenEye. Hey, I got a tip from EB, and this is a good tip for everybody, because I'm not going to trade in GoldenEye right away. I'm going to trade it in a month, because apparently brand new games are worth like $20 on trade the first month they come out, but once it's been 1 month past, they go up to $40.
Really?
Which is sometimes I'll trade brand new games in and only get $20. It's because I'm doing it too fast. That's what the girl told me. She said, wait a full month after release, and almost every game is $40 on trade the month after release. So, good tip.
Yeah. Well, got to keep their valued customers around.
Yeah, well, they figure there's not as much interest in it in the first month, is what she said. She feels they
say, which is understandable. Well,
yeah. I know. You'd think that people would really? Be like, no, I really want that game used, but people don't like to buy a game used when it's brand new, when it just came out.
Just came out, and when you buy it used, it's only really, what, $5 cheaper maybe at the
most?
$5
cheaper, exactly, and you got to deal with their stupid fucking stickers. I would buy all my games used if they didn't put stickers on the goddamn boxes.
Yeah.
I hate how they ruin boxes with their stickers, and I just
you're the collector type, though.
Yeah, no, I know I am. But most people take really good care of their games. The discs and books are in great shape. But yeah, Kirby.
It's funny because they always charge me $3 every time I go in to trade a game. Again, they nailed me like $3, and it's always curiously, it's always the most recent game. That I'm trading in that should be, you know, pristine. For some reason, it's like, oh, $3. And he, like, puts it back in the case. And
wow.
It's like, okay. Yeah, it doesn't, I don't see why that one's $3. And those ones that I've had for months are...
It doesn't happen nothing to me wrong anymore. With them. It doesn't happen to me anymore. It happened to me a couple times. I was like, what's this $3 for a scratch? And as soon as they told me that, I started getting crazy...
Picky, you know, with them?
Yeah, I just... would not, I don't take any risks anymore at all, and it hasn't happened to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kirby's Epic Yarn got an 89. That's
I was surprised it's actually that low, because every review that I've read and everyone that I've talked to that's played it has said nothing but great things about it.
The only games that get higher than a 90 are the ones that paid for it.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Oh, but somebody gave it 60. Game Cult gave it 60, so that's definitely pulling it down.
Who the fuck are these Game Cult bastards? Yeah, seriously,
they need to take out the Outlayers. That's like that's a full 20 points lower than the second highest.
Oh, anyway. That's crazy shit. Yeah, there's a few things we forgot to talk about last podcast that I can't believe we didn't mention was Undead Nightmare that came out for Red Dead Redemption.
Such a good DLC.
It's an amazing DLC. 800 points, and... I'm still playing it. I think I'm like 6 or 7 hours in, and it still feels like I got like at least 3 or 4 more to go.
Yeah, no, I'm treating it like a full game, so I'm not even playing it until I'm done Fallout.
Yeah.
Fallout's the game I can only really focus. You know what it's like. You can only focus on one story-based single-player game at a time. Really. True.
Yeah.
I do otherwise, but I always lose something every time I do.
From what I heard, Undead Nightmare is a standalone DLC. Like, you don't need Red Dead in order to play it. It's like Dead Zero, Case Zero.
Really?
Yeah, Dead Rising, Case Zero. It's like a separate DLC. From what I think I read that somewhere.
For 800 points.
If I'm wrong, please correct me. But
for 800 points, that is such a deal. But I mean, how much was Case Zero?
Case Zero was 800 points, I believe.
But it was only about 3 or 4 hours long.
Yeah, and it was only 3 or 4. When you rush through it.
Undead Nightmare is really fun, but oh my god, the writing's bad.
Oh god.
Writing is some of the worst writing.
Some of the worst. The one line at the start where, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but he's like, I shouldn't even say it, but just right after he said it, I out loud to myself, I was like, oh, that is so bad. Did you just say that? It doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem concerned at all. Like, he seems biggest asshole around. Does
with
he
this
not?
Crazy shit that's happening, zombies. He's like,
he's just
with
so
it.
Nonchalant about it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Jeff told me when he played Red Dead, he couldn't play it because the writing was so bad. And I remember thinking, man, you're just a snob or something at first. But now I'm thinking, maybe I do need to go back and play that game again because maybe the writing was horrendous.
I don't think it was as bad as what I've witnessed in Undead Nightmare.
Yeah, I remember thinking they really captured the feel of a Western.
Well,
movie.
The atmosphere, like besides the writing, though, like when you are riding around and the music and the ambient noises and everything, it is very creepy. Mm-hmm. And
no, we're talking just about the cutscenes.
Yeah, exactly.
Red Dead's that's all. There's I'm no question about. That the atmosphere of the game. That's the best thing about it. Like in the original game, when you first get to Mexico, and then all of a sudden that song starts playing.
That song out of nowhere just started.
And
playing.
You're just cruising, and it's a song. I
hope that
kind of
happens again in this one. I'm just heading down to Mexico now, so we'll see.
I don't know if we can say what I think's the coolest thing. You ruined it for me, so why not ruin it for everybody else? But the horses.
What did I ruin? Oh, the horses. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, there's four undead horses. I can't believe you haven't captured one. I'm on my third one now, dude.
Dude, all I've done is made it to the town and stopped. I've played like maybe 30 minutes of it. So.
Oh really?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to finish. Yeah, it's my next game.
You can capture the four horses of the apocalypse.
War, pestilence.
War, pestilence. Famine,
and
what's the other one, man?
What's the locust?
I can't remember
one?
What the other one is. There's some like magical unicorn that you're supposed to capture too.
Nice.
That's part of the undead outfit.
See, that's wicked. I really like crazy things like that. It's fun. It's like when the Borderlands Dr. Ned expansion came out. It was the most fun because it was so different.
Just kind of just outrageous.
Yeah.
Like you're even killing Sasquatch in Undead Nightmare, like just Sasquatch out of nowhere.
That's wicked, yeah.
Yeah, it is a blast, and for 800 points, one of the best DLCs I've ever played.
I'd be amazed if it was a standalone game by itself.
I think it is. You should look it up real quick, man. Just,
all right.
Just check that shit out. I'll also mention real quick, I know Derek doesn't want me to talk about it because he hasn't watched it yet, but we're talking about zombies. If you haven't watched it yet, go out and check out Walking Dead that just came out on AMC on Sunday, on Halloween night. It is an amazing show and so well directed. The acting is spot on. It's based on a graphic novel. And if you haven't read those, go pick up that series as well. It is one of my favorites by far. It stays true to the comic books. It's such a good take on them. I already know it's going to be one of my favorite series, TV series of all time. Mm-hmm. So suspenseful, so tense. Just go check it out. Anyway, what's the scoop on that shit?
I'm not seeing anything. I see a lot of information on the standalone disc. I don't know why they're calling it a standalone disc, because it's just...
if it's a standalone disc, it's got to...
I don't know why they're calling it that, because it comes with all the other DLCs, and I assume the original game, too. But maybe not. Maybe it's just Undead Nightmare and all of the liars and...
Liars and cheats and the other DLC that came out.
Every single one of these is calling it Undead Nightmare and Pack Ghost Standalone.
Yeah, Undead Nightmare Ghost Standalone. Yeah, here we go.
However, the March of the Undead doesn't stop. A standalone disc is to be released to retail next month.
Oh. All right. So at the moment, you do actually need to own Red Dead, it looks like, in order to play Undead Nightmare. If it was a standalone, that would get me so excited because that would just show that a lot of other game publishers are going to go the way of K-Zero and start releasing a bunch of arcade titles.
There is a standalone disc that doesn't have the original game, and it has all of the DLCs, Outlaws to the End, Co-op, Mission Pack, Legends and Killers Pack, Liars and Cheats Pack, and all the multiplayer free roam modes. But you don't get the original game, but you get all the multiplayer stuff and Undead Nightmare. And it'll probably be cheap.
Yeah. I would get that if I didn't own the game yet, and I wasn't. Yeah.
No doubt.
Like, Undead Nightmare alone, it even goes away from the original story. Like, it kind of ruins the original story. It
changes the whole story.
It changes the whole history
which is okay. You seem to you have more of an issue with that than I am. I'm like, so what? You started over a new game. It's not like you're loading your previous character. And
it just kind of, to me, it almost made playing Red Dead pointless. Like, that whole story just kind of never happened now in my mind. I know it's not a true story, but like in my mind now, it just didn't happen because somewhere along the way, these zombies came and changed the whole history of it.
There was no need for them to use the same characters either. They could have just had new characters the same way that... because all the other Rockstar DLCs, like for Grand Theft Auto, the DLCs...
Yeah, like Gay Tony and all...
They mix with the story of the original game, and you see the original characters for in cutscenes and stuff like that, and you have missions that cross over with the original. But this one, yeah, they completely rebooted the whole story. Redid it. Weird.
Just changed everything, which really caught me off guard, but whatever. Which is funny coming from me, seeing I'm not a big proponent on story in video games anyway, so I don't know why I give a shit. But
it's a good point.
I also picked up Fable 3.
Yeah.
You haven't got it yet.
No.
It's weird. I like it. I have a lot of fun playing it. I always want to go back. Like, even right now, I'm kind of itching to want to go play some Fable 3.
Yeah.
But, man, it's a bad game. Like,
what?
In terms of the fact that there's already a Fable 2 out there, there's not much new about it. It's just more streamlined than Fable 2 is. It's mm-hmm. like not as deep, it seems.
I heard that.
Which
I heard that they like blew out non-deep features to insane levels, but then took the things that were deep about it and shallowed them. And
yeah, that's the combat I don't like at all compared to the first one.
Hey, you're not selling me on this game.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's so buggy. Like, I hope they fix it very soon because some of the bugs are inexcusable. I don't know.
Lionhead's always been bad for bugs, I found.
It drags at points, like graphical glitches everywhere. Yeah, I crashed twice last night trying to play some multiplayer with Erickson. The multiplayer is a lot better than Fable 2.
Yeah, nice.
There's no standalone camera anymore.
Not saying much.
No, the Fable 2 multiplayer was horrible.
Yeah.
And the whole inventory system is really weird. Every time you press pause, it doesn't go to a screen or anything. It takes you to the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, you can go to your armory. You can go to, you know,
what?
The settings area.
The pause menu is a level?
Is like a level, yeah.
That's weird.
And it's after a while, like, it was kind of cool at first. It's like, oh, nice. This is kind of neat. I go into the armory and I see my sword and I see my hammer and I see all my armor.
I'm sure.
But after a while, it's like, okay, can I not just have a menu that quickly go boom, 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 and select my shit? Why am I having to? You don't have to walk here. Once you get into a room, you can press on your D-pad and it'll warp you to the other rooms.
Oh yeah.
But still, once you get in that room, you're still walking up to items and checking out the stats.
Did they work that into the role play of the game? Like, does that actually?
Yeah, it does have a part to do with the story. Like, that is your father, who was you in Fable 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was that was his sanctuary.
No, but I mean, did they have some explanation for how you instantly warp there? Do you have some kind of magic
it's
jewel
you
that
discovering,
takes you?
Yeah, it's you discovering that you get this orb, this hero orb. I can't even remember what the orb's called, but it's like an indicator of whether or not you're a hero or not, and only heroes are able to enter.
And you
this
use the
sanctuary.
Orb to get to your sanctuary.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. That this like, I'm so into story and consistency and things like that, that if a game made my menu part of the game that way, I would be
it's cool
stoked.
Don't get me wrong, so like, I loved it at first. I thought it was really cool.
That's innovative.
It
I
is
like
very
that.
Innovative, but after a while, you know, I kind of just wouldn't mind. Even there's no real map. Like, when you go to the pause menu, you have to walk up to the map, which is like a giant.
I love this.
And you walk up to it doesn't show you where you are.
Oh.
On the map. It only shows quests and
what they went for is they wanted to present an experience that never really entered a game. They wanted to be a consistent experience all the way through.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's really neat.
Like, the only way I could find out to actually get to the the pause menu or the pause screen is to be in the world, the actual world that you're running while in like Albion, and hit your Xbox button.
And oh, then yeah.
Once you hit your Xbox button again, the pause screen will just be up there.
Nice. Okay.
So I kind of figured a way around it because, you know, in order for saving, I don't want to go into the sanctuary just to save my game, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I'm having a lot of fun. As much as all these negatives I'm bringing up, I'm still having tons of fun.
It's funny, actually. That's exactly the sentiment that I felt a lot of the reviews captured was like, they're like, yeah, this kind of sucks and this kind of sucks, but man, it's awesome.
There's just something about it. I don't know what it is. It really makes you feel like a hero, and you do feel powerful, and there is something about that. Like, I haven't died yet at all.
Is the co-op so good that I should go out and get it? Like, would we have a really good time, or is it the kind of thing that
if you want to be my bitch and be a chick and roll a chick, that's right. And we get married, because we can get married.
I get half your shit.
That's all right.
You're going to have a lot more shit than me. But that's the way it works in real life. The bitch comes in, takes all your shit.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, no, it'd be funny. And yeah, in the least gay way possible, I would enjoy trying it out.
It does seem, other than the fact that the one thing I don't get, so if you are married to me, if you join my game, you don't progress in the story. But if you're in your game, you're still married to me, and you're mm-hmm. still getting half my shit, so...
But yeah, but any...
And I'm still getting half your shit.
Any items that you get, you can take back with you.
Yeah,
like swords
yeah.
and shields and
yeah.
stuff like that. So
yeah,
that was pretty...
that's true.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to make a game that you can go through with another person like that, you know, where you can both progress through the story. I guess Halo did it with Halo Reach recently. Why not, actually?
I don't see why not.
Well, because because you have to both be at the same point. Halo lets you know there's 11 distinct levels. You've either completed that level or you haven't. But in Fable, you've got all these different quests. You don't know if you've got that quest or if he does.
So you just have a separate account that is only playable with two characters.
What do you mean?
Like, anytime you can have your single-player account and your single-player guy and do whatever you want and progress and get all the quests you want, but then have the separate account where it's only playable when there's only two of you online. So every time you log on to this account, your buddy's always going to be there. So he's always going to have your quests.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be at the same point because you're never going to be playing without him because you can't play without him.
That would be great. That would be a great feature if they did it that way. For sure, but without doing that, it suffers from the same problem as any MMO, right? Which is like, if you don't play just as much as your buddy,
yeah,
you're done. You can't play together anymore because you don't have the same quests. And
I don't see, there's no reason why they can't do what I just described, because
what about having co-op quests? Have a single player game, but have quests in the game that can only be completed co-op.
Yeah, that's another way to do it.
That's the way Lord of the Rings did it. There's a whole bunch of single-player quests.
But still, there's always going to be that one buddy that's level 50 and you're still...
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it at least, a lot, like, it would be cool. It's kind of like how in Crackdown 2, there were co-op orbs. There's orbs that you can only collect co-op, and there's things that you can only do co-op. So I like that. I like the idea of having a single-player game with co-op elements. That where there's like, you can only do this, you can only get into that castle with another co-op player.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and then there's a whole sequence of missions and a whole dungeon and like four or five quests related to that castle, and it can only be done co-op, you know, and that way it just allows us, so it's like, oh yeah, make sure you don't go beyond level 25 before we do this together, you know, and
yeah,
that's not nearly as big of a deal as saying, don't finish that single quest before I'm playing with you again.
So yeah.
That would have been cool. They should have done that way.
Every time we bring up playing like with your buddies in MMOs and like starting an MMO with your buddy, I always remember Jarrett and EQ, where they got already started like months before him, and I was only level 15 or something within like 3 or 4 months. Like, that's how long it took to level in EQ back in the days.
Yeah, I remember.
And Jarrett started, and within a couple days, he was level 15, and I got to play with him for one day, and then I never saw him again, because he was so high leveled and just so way far behind me. Yeah,
he was well recognized on the server for being one of the best players, and that was the PK server, which was the most hardcore server. Which one was it called? What was the PK server?
Was it Ralozek?
Ralozek, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was recognized as, but if we could remember his name, there'd be people.
I can. I'm not sure if I should.
Yeah, no, you absolutely
should. I don't want to release his alias. Should. There might be guys out there going, that fucker.
Yeah, there's seriously that fucker. And there's also just like Jared's crazy paranoid about stuff like that, too. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Man,
did you hear about that girl that got her hand bitten off pretty much by the pit bull?
No.
Right before she went out trick-or-treating, so she couldn't go out trick-or-treating.
Yeah,
ruined
no.
Ruined her whole Halloween experience forever. She's going to be scorned for the rest of her life.
Unless
she's
going to
hate Halloween
unless
forever.
Her costume was a pirate or a zombie, if then it would have been a fantastic. It would have added to her costume. She was a zombie. Imagine if she had like the bloody. That's what the parents should have done.
I think it actually said something in the paper about that. Like, it wasn't a part of her zombie costume or her mummy costume or something
but
like
no,
that.
No, but that's what the parents should have done. The parents should have taken the bloody stump, rubbed some blood all over her costume, and made her a zombie, whatever she was. So if she was a princess, now she's a zombie princess. If she was a cowboy,
think,
now
honey,
she's a zombie
you're
gonna
cowboy.
You're
going to have the most authentic costume on the block.
She's like, oh, I don't know, my head hurts. The dad's like, no. We have.
So what are your thoughts on pit bull ownership? Because I think you got to be pretty crazy to own a pit bull.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a whole movement of pit bull owners that are like, hey, it's not the dog,
it's
the owner.
It's not the dog, it's the owner. Bullshit. Bullshit. It doesn't matter, man.
You don't hear
any dog can just snap at any point in time and bite you. And the fact is, a pit bull is genetically made, like its jaws and the force it creates is nowhere near a fucking chihuahua. A chihuahua bites you, what? It's a little scratch. Oh, well, there's a lot more chihuahuas out there that are probably more ferocious than and attack more people than pit bulls do. But the fact is, when a pit bull bites you, it's going to rip your face off.
Yeah.
It's going to rip your hand off. It's going to do some major damage because it's a pit bull.
It's the same logic we don't sell Gatling guns and grenade launchers to citizens.
Exactly.
It is just the gun owner. A Gatling gun is harmless without a person behind it, but we don't sell them to people because they can do major damage with them.
And I'm sorry to all the pit bull owners out there that hate me right now and think I'm just an idiot, but I don't know what to say other than the fact that it's an animal. You cannot predict its behavior. As well trained as it is, one day some asshole might come around and boot it in the face, and its instinct is to go and chomp its foot off now.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know that. They have instinct to, like a bee, to attack anything that attacks them.
Oh, dude. Well, defend itself. It's,
yeah. Well,
it's,
if you kicked Hunter in the face, we got my dog, Little Hunter, here. Hi, Hunter.
Well, if you kicked Hunter in the face, he'd be dead.
Shit. Well, well, let's say not hard. Let's say you kicked him lightly in the head. He would cower and run.
There are certain dogs that, I do believe have more of a killer instinct. It's just like the same with there's hunting dogs and there's sheep breeding.
Well, when I was a kid, Doberman Pinschers were that was the dog everyone was afraid of because they were police
Dobermans.
Dogs.
Yeah.
So do we allow them too?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a fine line. And that's the other thing. There are owners out there that do train their pit bulls and other dogs to attack.
This is what I think the circumstances, because I bet you that pit bull that bought that bit that kid's hand off.
The sad thing is, it's probably going to be put down. It's going to be put to sleep like it's a fucking pit bull's fault.
It's not the pit bull's fault.
It's just doing what its brain's telling it to do.
Yeah, so I would say you need to make owners criminally responsible for the actions of their dogs. That's the solution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's the case or not.
I'm sure
that
they
might
are.
Be
like,
the case.
I'm sure the person that had their daughter's hand bit off is suing that owner for negligent ownership. But I guarantee you the punishments for that. No, like people need to go to jail for not. If you're going to have a dog that dangerous, train it well or go to jail. But I don't say outlaw them. That goes against my libertarian principles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, I always revert back to my point of no matter how well trained it is. There, you just never know. There might be a time where it just, you know, bites somebody because it's, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's thinking it's defending its owner. You know, even if a guy came and broke into his house and it bit it off, you'd still put down the dog.
I guess the difference
that would be that's the idiotic thing about this is that for some reason we always blame the pet or blame the animal or. You know, when a bear attacks some hunters in the in the woods or attack some campers.
Just being a bear.
It's just, yeah, it's just being a bear. It's just doing what bears do. And for some reason, we have to go out and shoot that bear and kill that bear now.
It's evolution. They're trying to weed out the bears that are that will kill a human. They're trying to make it so that in the long term, bears won't attack humans anymore. Because only the ones that are scared of humans survived.
Man, we're such a virus. The human race is just amazing. It just tries to... It's going to take over this whole planet and just eat it alive until there's nothing left. And then we're all going
to
die out.
Well, hopefully we can get off it first. But I want to get back to the pit bull thing. Because the difference between the pit bull and the Gatling gun is the pit bull has a mind of its own.
Yeah, a mind of its own that a human can't possibly... If you think you can control a dog at all times, you're stupid.
Yeah.
It has a mind of its own. It is a beast. It's an animal that, granted, it does look up to you, but you train your kids, technically, when you're raising children. Do they do what you say at all times?
Oh, my God.
And I'm not comparing pit bulls to kids. I know kids are a lot more intelligent in terms of understanding what you're telling them.
Some of the ones that are you know, raised in Alabama or about the intellectual level of a pit bull. Retarded. Like Mr. Jesus Lee in there that we were watching before.
Jesus Lee and Snap.
He's about the intellectual level of a pit bull, I think. But yeah,
probably along that.
We're at 30 minutes. Well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything else I really want to talk about.
The U.S. elections, looks like the Republicans took the House.
That's not a big surprise.
Nobody's surprised by it. There was still part of me that was hoping. Part of me was hoping that that people
were afraid of this universal health care.
You know, I just don't understand what people thought Democrats could do in 2 years. Bush got reelected after 4 years. You're telling me you can't give Obama 2? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You gave Bush 8 years, but you can't give Obama 2.
It's so funny because he ran his whole campaign on this whole, you know, thing of change and but everyone took that was going to happen right away. Like as soon as he got into office, within a couple of weeks, things are going to be all better.
Yeah.
Somehow magically, but.
Yeah, I watched
the guy came in with a big debt on his ass and a couple of wars being fought overseas. I mean, what do you want the guy to do?
Yeah, I watched his interview on Jon Stewart. And it was an awesome interview. I suggest you download and watch it. It's a full 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was great. Did you watch it? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, nice. And I thought he explained himself so well because I was really critical of Obama before watching that interview. I was like, yeah, he hasn't been doing a good job, but I was the whole time I'm sitting there going, is that just the media like manipulating my brain and making me think? Because do I just expose myself to too much conservative media? And I was starting to question. I'm like, do I really know what he said he was going to do and what he's doing? And after I watched that interview, I know he might have been manipulating me through the interview as well, but I thought he defended himself well in saying, look, I did these things. What else did you expect me to do? I did as much as I could do.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But it's so funny how when you listen to people talk about that interview, like the Democrats always say, well, it took a lot of balls to go on like on a current show like that, and no other president's ever done it. And then you listen to Republicans and like, well, you can't take that seriously. It's a channel on the comedy network.
Well, speaking of that, I saw from the rally of sanity, the rally to restore sanity that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert put on. Not Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, yeah. They, for some reason, I was thinking Steve Carell. I was like, no. Colbert. But no, they're one of the signs that somebody had said, it's a sad day when my government makes me laugh and I have to take my comedian seriously. And I thought that was such an excellent point.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, why is Jon Stewart getting an interview with Obama?
Yeah.
Why is a comedian? I know why, because Jon Stewart is a fucking visionary and he's an amazing man that has changed.
And to be honest, I take a lot of what he says more seriously than exactly, I do of what right? I see on CNN or Fox.
But why is it a comedian? And he would be the first to make that point.
He's made it before,
I think. He's made it before. He said, I'm a comedy show, for Christ's sake. Why am I the one that people are taking seriously? Why are people looking to me for inspiration? And not our politicians and our political commentators.
And our other media outlets that are...
Twice as many people showed up to the rally to restore sanity than did Glenn Beck's rally to restore honor.
Really?
Twice as many people.
Twice as many. That's funny.
It was 250,000, so I guess Glenn Beck got 125, right? But I did see that figure that twice as many people showed up. And that just made me feel so good because I was like, good. At least most people still are, like, you know, it showed that, that the Glenn Beck nutbags are a minority.
It's tea baggers.
Tea baggers. How do you pick that name, Tea Party?
Because they're insane. They're all insane. That's anyway. All right, let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up, yeah. www.derricksweet.com and www.joelgardner.com. And, yeah. Jesus Lee.
Jesus Lee.
Snap.